Good morning. It is good to be back, and I am grateful that, I want to thank Wally for filling in last week. It is always good to have a man anointed by God to preach the sermon, so thank you, Wally. Pardon? Your dad is awesome. Yes, he is. And I think a lot of us in this room think your dad is awesome. So anyway, how great is our God? Do you ever have a sentence and you repeat it and put emphasis on different words? How great is our God? 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 It's an amazing thing, and as you read, as you repeat those things, it gets just a little bit different every time. And part, I think the word that I appreciate so much in that is how great is our God. He is a God who is greatly to be praised. And so is that why we're here this morning? Are we here to praise God, or are we just here to come together and hang out? And that's the question. The word praise is used over 150 times in the book of Psalms. It is the whole book is a song of praise to God. Praise is to calls attention to His glory. The word bless is also used. Bless means to praise, to exalt, to worship. It's another word used for praise. My favorite psalm is Psalm 34. Listen how it starts. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Is that why we're here? I will bless the Lord in the good times. I will bless the Lord all, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can that be said of us? That God's praise is continually in our mouths? I'm not sure that that can always be true of me, because sometimes I gripe and complain and grumble and moan. There's always one. Psalm 103. In verse 1 it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And we'll get to a few more verses in that just a little bit later, but praise the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. With my entire being, I will praise the Lord. Everything that is in me, everything that I am, will praise the Lord. Y'all believe that this morning? I will tell you what I believe. I believe that everything we are and everything we do flows out of our worship for God. If we're not worshiping God, then we can't serve Him. If we're not worshiping God, then we can't minister. If we're not worshiping God, we can't tell other people about God. Psalm 96 is one of my favorite psalms. But Psalms 96 through 99 are what's called the enthronement psalms, and I'm going to read just a little bit of all of them this morning, because it's all about praising God for who He is. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. You know, you read these things, you ought to be able to get excited. You know, your spirit ought to just begin to well up inside of you. It ought to just, you know, you ought to get so excited, you just can't hold it back. We need to get so excited that people see that excitement oozing from us, don't we? How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is my God? My God is amazing. My God is stupendous, if I can use that word. My God is marvelous. Look at what He's done for me. I was undeserving of His love. And yet He loved me enough to send His Son for me. And that fact of my salvation ought to cause me to fall at His feet every single day of my life. Ought to cause me to fall on my knees and praise Him every single day of my life. If God has not done anything else for you except save your soul, He's done everything for you. And we need to praise Him for that. You know, I could get excited doing this stuff, Wally. I just could. Back to Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Let me just stop there a minute. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Mike Jones and I have developed pretty good relationship about the music and the sermons and stuff. And he sent me a text this week, and I've been struggling with what I was going to preach this week. And he sent me some songs. I said, why don't you help me out? And so what were the songs today? How great is our God. That's coming, right? Shout to the Lord. Was that one of them? What was the first one? My Savior, my God. They talked about the greatness of God. And when he sent me that first song, I couldn't help but think of Psalm 96. As a matter of fact, one of those songs cites this verse, verse 4. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge His peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Father, we thank You for Your word today. And Lord, I pray today that Your praise would be welling up in our hearts, that we would not be afraid or ashamed to voice your glory here today, to sing praises to Your name, to sing a new song to You. Lord, I pray that everything we have done so far and every word that I will say and everything we do throughout this day would bring glory and honor and praise to Your name, because You alone are worthy. And we thank You for who You are, for what You've done. And we thank You that we can have life in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Verse 6. The heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Verse 10. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lights of His saints. Rejoice in the Lord. Verse 12. O you righteous, and give thanks to His holy name. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Let me just stop this for a minute. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. You know, it's not one of those that you think you have to make up at the moment. You know, that's not the new song. The new song is being excited about what God has done for you and just singing. It's an attitude. You know, anybody ever watch the Super Bowl? Just the ads. Well, that's the best part of it anyway. But you watch a Super Bowl, and if you're rooting for one team, you get excited. Let me go back. How many? Anybody watch the Ohio State games? That we can figure that out. So when you watch the Ohio State games, you get excited, don't you? And you begin to say new things or different things. At least you ought to be able to say. I'm talking about, let's say, good things. And so when we get excited about God, our hearts are overflowing, and we sing new songs to God. God, praise Your name today because of who You are. Praise Your name for You. He's a God of love, isn't He? A God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of wisdom. I'm just going to jump right out of here. Anybody get excited when you read the Word of God? You know, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to tell your face you're excited this morning. It's just a thought. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. By the way, is the Lord great in Gehenna? Is the Lord great at First Baptist Church? Is he first? Is he primary? Is he the reason we've come to this place to worship together? It ought to be. It ought to be. If there's something that is in your way this morning, you need to stop right now, repent, and seek God. Just a thought. Verse 9 of Psalm 99. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. One of the reasons I think that we praise God is we celebrate his attributes. The attributes of God are simply his characteristics. And the three main ones that we talk about a lot are his omniscience, which means he knows everything, his omnipotence, which means he is all-powerful, and his omnipresence, which means he is everywhere at the same time. You all believe those things? Do you all believe that God is omnipresent? Do you believe he's all omniscient? That he is omnipotent? Well, let me ask you this. I've talked to people before, and I've said to them, excuse me, is God in the church? Well, the obvious Sunday morning answer is yes, right? Is God in your community? Is God at your place of business? Is God in the school? Is God in your home? And then I ask him, is God in the local bar? And I've heard people say, well, no, he's not. Yes, he is. If God is omnipresent, he is there. Do people who have a problem with alcohol need Jesus? Do people who have a problem with lying need Jesus? Do people who are in prison need Jesus? Everyone needs Jesus, and they need to see that praise oozing out from us. Those three attributes, God's love, I talked about this, God's mercy, God's grace, God is holy. God is wisdom. God is faithfulness. A.W. Tozer said this about the attributes of God. What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So when you think about God this morning, when you think about him right now, what's the first thing that comes to mind? This is audience participation at this point. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about God? Grace. Holy. What else? Love. Those are things that we need to concentrate on. What's the first thing that comes to mind? When we are aware of the attributes of God, we can praise God for who he really is and how his attributes, his characteristics, his character impacts us on a daily basis. Psalms of praise. Let me tell you, when you're discouraged, read the Psalms. Read the Psalms of praise. These 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, they're all songs of praise. And here's what you need to do when you're discouraged. You need to read the Psalm and you need to remember the Psalms. Because when you are discouraged, you'll have a place of reference. You have a place to go back and be able to see who God is and what our focus needs to be. Takes your mind off yourself and places it on him. Worship and witness. John Piper. Anybody ever heard John Piper? If you come digging deeper on Wednesday night, you'll see him quoted often. John Piper said this: missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. So when we come here this morning, are we thinking about other things or are we thinking about worship? Worship is simply laying ourselves on the altar of God. It is bringing ourselves into a relationship with God in a way that will change us forever. When we leave this place, will we be able to say we've been changed? Should we be able to say when we leave this place we've been changed? I think anytime the Word of God is opened, we ought to be able to say we've been changed by God's word. Worship leads to witness. And that's what's going to happen here in this psalm. It can't be the other way around. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. How many of you, have you ever heard anybody say, well, I just won't sing because I have a really terrible voice? You ever heard that? You ever thought that? Jamie? No, I'm just... Have you ever heard or thought that? You know what the Bible says? Make a joyful noise to the earth, to the Lord, all the earth. You can make a joyful noise if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. We ought to be singing and praising Him. When the praise team's up here, what are you thinking about? When they're singing, what are you thinking about? That makes a difference in this place. We exalt the name of God. We worship the name of God. We worship Him because He is the only great and glorious God. We should worship Him, witness for Him, and wait for His second coming. He is the only great God. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 96. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Well, you'll say, there are no other gods. Yes, there are. What's the most important thing in your life? What is it that you place above God? Because whatever that is God in your life. That's the idol in your life. No matter what that is, if God isn't first, then you are involved in serving other gods. He is a great God, greatly to be praised. He is the only great God. Sing to the Lord is mentioned three times. In verse 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. You know, what we need to do is we need to start seeing unsaved people in this room. What do you think? And then by our singing, we can relate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes music can reach a place where words never can penetrate. And people listen to music all the time. You ever get up in the morning and you turn on the radio or you have TV going and you hear a song? And you hear that song all day long. You sing that song all day long. What if the first song we heard in the morning was a song of praise for God? We'd sing that song all day long. Would it make a difference in our lives? Surely it would. Would it make a difference in those who are around us? Absolutely it would. We need to be people who sing a new song to God. What is it that God has done in your life lately? This isn't necessarily audience participation, but can you think of those things? Can you think of anything God has done in your life recently? Because if you can't, you haven't been spending enough time with Him. God's mercies are new how often? Every morning. Every morning, and every morning our attention needs to go to God first thing. Every morning we need to worship and praise Him. It'll make a difference in the way we live our lives. He is the only great God. Worship should lead to witness. Verse 2. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day. What was first in this psalm? Worship. What is second? Witness. Verse 3 says, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. You know, the Jews were a pretty closed community. And the Jews thought that God was only for them. Although God had told them they were to be a light to the nations, a light for the Gentiles. And the writer here says, declare His glory among the nations. How many people do you tell about Jesus? Does everyone have the right to hear the gospel? Has everyone you know heard the gospel? Maybe people aren't hearing the gospel because we don't share the gospel. Maybe people aren't hearing the gospel because we don't live the gospel. Someone once said that the greatest testimony of a Christian life is what you live. The only real evidence for unsaved people about the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way you live your life. Are you careful to witness? Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed." I think you preached this a couple weeks ago, Wally. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks," or also to the Gentiles. Do you believe that? Do we pick and choose who we share the gospel with? Do we pick and choose people groups that we'll share the gospel with and those we won't? Do we let prejudice affect the way that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ? I think sadly sometimes that happens. Do we think that some are unworthy to hear the gospel and respond? I can think of two people. I'll mention one. Ted Bundy. Anyone ever hear of Ted Bundy? He was a serial killer. All across the country, he murdered young girls. Was caught, went to trial, was convicted, and sentenced to spend life in prison. James Dobson went to visit him in prison. If it had been almost anybody else, I wouldn't have believed it. James Dobson went to visit him in prison and shared the gospel with him, and Ted Bundy was saved. Did he deserve to be saved? Not really. But God's mercy and grace. The question is, did Ted Bundy deserve to be saved? And then I go back to, did I deserve to be saved? Sean Sellers, I'll mention him. Sean Sellers, 17-year-old kid from Oklahoma. Murdered his parents because he said the devil, Satan, told him to murder his parents. Went to prison. While he was in prison, he gave his life to Christ. And here was what he said in prison. "I am grateful for God's forgiveness, but I deserve my punishment." God changed his life in prison. I wonder, does God change our lives here? Are we being daily transformed in the image of Christ? He can radically change us, can't he? And we need to allow him to do that in our lives, but he will never be able to do that in our lives unless we begin with worship. Everything we are, everything we do, flows out of our worship of God. Look at verse 7. "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts." Just as the word "sing" was used three times, so the word "ascribe" is used three times. The word "ascribe" means to give. To give. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. You're not giving it to the Lord, you are recognizing his glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Do we do that? Bring an offering. Bring an offering and come into his courts. And I bet when I said that, y'all thought, he's going to talk about money. No, I'm not. I'm not. Money follows. When we love God completely, then everything we have is his. Y'all believe that? Isaiah chapter 6. Years ago, Wally, about 30 years ago, I was contacted by the search committee of this church. And they asked me if I was preaching anywhere. And I had been preaching different places. And so that Sunday I was going to preach in Ontario, which is up near Mansfield. And about the service started at 11 o'clock. About 10 to 11, nobody was there. So I thought, well, they're not coming today. 5 to 11, they all came. And you knew who they were because they all walked in together, all filed into seats together. And this is the passage that I was preaching from. Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When Isaiah walked into the temple, what is the first thing that happened? He worshiped God. He saw God in all his magnificence. He saw the awesomeness of God. And he heard the angels crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah knew God, and he stood in awe of his majesty and his splendor. But something else happened to Isaiah. Isaiah saw his own sin. Whenever we are in the presence of God, whenever our attention is focused on God, when we see him for who he is, then and only then can we see ourselves as we are. Worship helps us understand who he is and who we are in him. Verse 4 said, And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me. We see God, we have a better understanding of our sin. One of the things we need to realize is there is no good in us. We are totally depraved. We are totally corrupt. We are totally immoral. We are totally wicked outside of the grace and mercy of God. He saw himself as he was, a sinner. But here's the thing. He said, Woe is me, and I believe that's his confession. I believe he repented, and what we need to realize, something, even before I go there, one of the things you and I need to realize is God is not some good buddy in the sky. You know, you hear athletes say, well, the man upstairs. He is not the man upstairs. He is the Almighty King, the Lord of Lords, the sovereign God of the universe. He is not some good buddy. Now, we sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and he said, No longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. But he's not the guy right here that you're, well, anyway, he is not a good buddy. He is altogether separate. We are nothing compared to him. In your hymnal, look at Psalm 1, or song, hymn number 139. Just look at it for a minute. Because I want you to see these words as I point them out. Psalm 139. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head? What's the word saying in the hymnal? For sinners such as I. Those are not the original words. We have toned that down. Because the original words, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? We need to see ourselves as who we really are before God. God is holy. God is righteous. And outside of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are worms. I don't like that phrase, but it's true. And it describes much more who I am in God's presence, unsaved, than the word sinner. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Why have we changed that? I don't have a clue. But it's toned it down, and I think it makes, I think it's easier to hear than for such a worm as I. Isaiah saw God, he saw himself. He confesses his sin, and he was cleansed. Verse 6 says, Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. The blood of the sacrifice went down on the coals. There's redemption through the blood of Jesus, isn't there? This coal, this has touched your lips and your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Do we get excited when we realize the cost that God paid for us? Or does it become mundane? Does it still mean the same to us today as when we were first saved? Are we still as excited about His saving grace today as we were the very first day that we were saved? Or does it get old and casual? We know it, but are we experiencing it? Are we living it? Does it make a difference in our lives? We need to see God in His holiness. And I think that when we worship God, we will see Him in His holiness. We will see Him high and lifted up. We will see His train fill the temple. Let me ask you this morning. When you come into this room, do you see God? When you come into this room, are you focused on God? When do you come into this room, do you lay aside everything else and focus on who He is and what He's done for us? Can we come in and say, as the writer of Psalm 96 said, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Back to Psalm 103. We talked about that a minute ago. And I started with this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not His blessings. How has God blessed you? Listen, here we start with at the very beginning. Who forgives all your iniquity. Every sin you have ever committed is forgiven in Christ. Jesus shed His blood on the cross, not so our sins might be covered, but that our sins are completely washed away. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? To cleanse us, to wipe our sin clean, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You ought to read through Psalm 103 and see how God has blessed us. Just see how God has blessed us and look at each blessing and begin to praise Him for each one. Don't just read the psalm and say, "Good job, God. I praise You for what You've done in that psalm." Go through it individually, verse by verse, and thank God. Praise Him for who He is and what He's done. The Lord reigns. Talks about the majesty of God. John Calvin said this. John Calvin often referred to God as the majesty. Would that change our lives if we thought of God as the majesty? If we thought of Him as the majesty, wouldn't we be thinking Him as of the King of kings, the Lord of lords? Isn't that how our attention would be focused? Psalm 8, verse 9 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth." How majestic is Your name. This also goes on to say, Psalm 96. Verse 10 says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved." Pay attention. He will judge the peoples with equity. You see, the first time Jesus came as Savior, the second time He is coming as judge. Don't be fooled into thinking that Jesus will not judge. There are two judgments in the Bible. One is at the judgment seat of Christ. When Jesus judges believers, for what's going on in their lives, motives, obedience. The second is the great white throne judgment, at which he judges all unbelievers. Listen carefully. Everyone who is not called upon the name of the Lord will be punished forever. You ever heard anybody say to someone, go to hell? You ever heard that expression? That's one of the worst things you can ever say to anybody. Be forever separated from the grace and mercy and love of God. I think the punishment, you know, they talk about fire and they talk about brimstone, they talk about those kind of things. The greatest punishment for me of hell is never feeling the breeze again. Never seeing anyone smile. Never smelling a new baby. Can you remember what babies smell like when they're first born? Well, after mom puts all that lotion and stuff on them. Never seeing green grass. Being separated forever and ever and ever from all the blessings of God. And remembering that you had a chance. That you had the opportunity. It says he judges with equity. His judgment will be fair. No one will be judged unfairly. Some will receive mercy because of their faith in Christ. Others will receive perfect judgment, which is eternal punishment, because they have not believed, because they rejected the message of the gospel. He judges in righteousness. God has a perfect standard, doesn't he? Be holy because I'm holy. He judges in righteousness. God's perfect standard is himself. His standard is himself. And listen, he does not judge on the curve. When you were in school, any of your teachers ever grade on the curve? Did they? So you were hoping somebody... excuse me, somebody really smart scored really high. And then somebody on the other end didn't score very low. So that on the curve, you'd get a better grade, probably than you deserved, or maybe than you deserved. God does not grade on the curve. You either accept Christ or you haven't. That is the choice. He judges according to his righteousness. He judges in verse 13 according to his faithfulness. Faithfulness is truth. He is not arbitrary. He judges faithfully and truthfully. Worship, witness, waiting. Are you looking for the coming of the Lord? Are you? If you're looking for the coming of the Lord, does it change your life today? Should it change your life today? Let's suppose that somebody really famous called your house and said they were coming to visit. I don't even know anybody that, anyway. Would you get ready for their visit? Would you make sure the house was cleaned? Would you make sure that the food was fresh? Would you try to make an effort to find out what they really liked? Would you change your attitude when they were coming? Listen carefully. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Is your house cleaned? Is your heart what it should be? I listened when I was years ago, I was in a meeting. And the speaker was saying, Jesus is coming again. Well, we all know that. And then he started to narrow it down. Jesus might be coming in a week. And he kept narrowing it down and said, Jesus might be coming in 5 minutes. And I saw people looking around. You know, the fact is that any time he could break through the sky, right? He is coming again. Just as surely as he came the first time, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this he will come again. The angel said, he will come again. It ought to make a difference. If God is our Savior, we will be a worshiping people. That's first. If God is our Savior, we'll be a witnessing people. We tell people what he has done for us. Again, I go back to Dairy Queen ministry on Wednesday night with the kids. And a few weeks ago, we were over there, and I told you 2 weeks ago about if we were talking about Jesus, somebody came up to the table and said, what are you guys talking about? What would you say to them? And Matthew gave the best little thing about what we could say to them. Now, I'm not going to say it here, but you talk to him. Ask him what he said. We need to be ready to give a defense. We need to be willing to tell people who Jesus is. And we will not do that if we are not worshiping him. He needs to be first, and then the message will flow from us. If we're not worshiping, we will not be witnessing. If we're not worshiping, not only will we not be witnessing, we will also not be looking for his coming. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Or maybe Catherine will have it up on the screen. Mark chapter 13, I'm sorry. Beginning of verse 32. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Stay awake. Always be looking for his coming. Don't be caught off guard. Remember the story of the 10 virgins? 5 went. 5 were left. 5 were ready. 5 were not. Are you ready? Are you going to stay awake? Not just today in the sermon, but are you staying awake looking for the coming of the Lord? God's people need to be worshiping people. They need to be witnessing people. They need to be watchful people. He's coming. He's coming. Stay awake. Let's pray.